Deuteronomy, the first chapter, describes the Lord telling his people, just as they were, to get to the promised land, he gave them a word. And this word he repeated. We're going to take time and read about three different passages. Are you in a big, big rush tonight? Or good. Deuteronomy 1, verse 19, he said, "When we were departed from Horeb, we went through that great, terrible wilderness. You saw by the way the mountain of the Amorites, and the Lord commanded us. We came to Kadesh Barnea." That was the point where they sent the spies into the land, and they came back and gave the report. 10 of them said, "We can't do it," and Joshua and Caleb said, "We can." That was really a breaking point in some ways. But he gave them this word before that. He's preparing them because he knows what's coming up. He knows when they see the giants, when they see the walled cities, it's going to be dawning. He told them about how great the land was. He didn't tell them, a lot of detail about the giants, right. Yeah. And the walled cities, yeah. And all of that. Right. And part of the reason is he don't want them quitting before they get there.
That's right. Yes,
sir. Right? Yes. Why are we talking about this? Because God's never changed. Right. The enemy hadn't changed. He's still doing the same things. Human nature hadn't changed. Right. And the way you walk by faith has not changed. So the reason this is recorded is because we'll face similar situations and we'll have to respond the right way.
Yes.
And he said, here's what he said. "You're come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God does give us. Behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it." Like Pastor was saying, you got to press toward the mark.
Yeah.
Just because it's God's will for you doesn't mean it will happen.
That's right.
That's
right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even though it's His will and His plan, that does not mean it'll automatically happen. You'll have to believe Him.
Yes.
You'll have to receive it from Him by faith. You'll have to obey Him.
Amen.
And take steps. And that's what he's telling them. He said, "I've given you the land, but you got to go get it."
That's right?
Right?
Yes.
Even when he rained manna out of the sky, they still had to leave the tent and go pick it up.
Yep.
Right? And take it home. No matter how spectacular the miracle is, you still have to receive.
That's right.
Or you won't experience it. You won't enjoy it. But notice what he said. He said, "The Lord has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said to you. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Everybody say, "Fear not, neither be discouraged." Now, you know, if you've read the scriptures much, this is not the only time you hear this. These phrases are repeated over and over again. Why? Why are they there numerous times? You got to watch about something becoming familiar to you and it just having a religious connotation. The Lord said this. He said it through His prophets. So many times when an angel appeared, that was the first words out of their mouth, "Fear not." Why is the Lord saying this? So you don't fear.
Yes.
Well, why, if it's not an issue, why would he keep saying it? It is one of the biggest reasons why people are robbed of blessings they should have. And see, the Lord knew what was coming up. And so when he gives you a command, it's not a suggestion. He's not saying try not to be afraid. Now, some of these modern translations that you see around, they have put these kind of phrases in the scripture, do your best, try to. That is not in the word. That's a bad translation. I'm not saying the whole book is a bad translation. I'm saying that part is not good. And get you something that you can examine phrases by. Something that's real literal and real accurate and real precise. So you can at least check it out. Not that you can't, you know, get something good out of another translation. Some of these shouldn't be called translations. Really, they're paraphrases. They're not telling you word for word what the Lord said. They're telling you what they think He meant. I want to know what He said.
Yes.
And I'll do my own thinking.
Yes.
Are y'all with me? Are y'all okay or not?
Yeah.
Well, he said, fear not. Now notice the rest of it. Don't be discouraged. Everybody say it out loud. Fear not.
Fear not.
Don't be discouraged.
Don't be discouraged.
Why would the Lord tell you that? Huh? Because you're going to be, not could be. You're going to be tempted to fear. Somewhere, sometime, something. You might be as brave as can be in one area, but another area hits you and you go, uh-oh, wasn't ready for that. But fear is one of the enemy's main tools to attack. And what we've got to realize is the warfare is not just on the outside. The battle's on the inside. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not fleshy. You don't just live in Colorado or whatever state you live in. You live inside. You live in your mind. You live in your heart. You live in your spirit. And a victory there will translate into a victory out here.
Come on. So good.
But if you don't get it right in here, there won't be miracles outside. And the big issue inside is we must not tolerate fear. Or, he said, discouragement. You don't see the word we use today, depression. But that's what he's talking about. Depression. Do you know how many church-going people talk about battling depression?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right. It's an epidemic of it.
Yes, sir. It is.
Does it have to be that way?
No.
No, sir.
No.
Yeah, but people are struggling. And, you know, people, too many have gotten suicidal.
Yes, sir.
From being so discouraged, so depressed, which is, the Lord knew this. That's why He, before they ever got there, He's prepping them. Can you see that? And see, He's not just exhorting them only. When the Lord says something to you, it's more than instruction. It's empowerment. There's no word of God void of power. Now, maybe you couldn't do what He's about to tell you before He told you. But when He tells you, there's a power in what He told you to enable you to do it. So when He says, don't be afraid, now you can not be afraid. Right? When He said, don't be discouraged, the fact He told you don't be discouraged. I mean, He's the one that said light be. Right? And light became. So when He tells you, fear not, you need to say, yes. Amen. I don't fear now. No matter how you feel. Go with me to the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. Is this okay? Deuteronomy 31, he told them again. Now, let me just stop right here. Have you read the account when they got to Kadesh Barnea, when the spies came back and they told them about that? What did they do? They panicked. Is that right? They yielded to fear. What did he tell them don't do? The very thing he told them not to do. Now, you know, perhaps when he told them these months and whenever before that, when he said, now you come to the land, I've given it to you, go, I'm with you, go up, possess it, and here's the big thing, don't be afraid. Don't yield to fear. And don't yield to discouragement and depression. And you know, before they ever saw the giants, no, this they're probably thinking, yeah, amen. Don't be afraid, got it. Don't be discouraged, right. Amen. Until, right? Until you're facing the real deal. And now you go, man, that dude was 9 foot tall. Is that right? That wall was 20 foot thick. How are we going to get through? Hmm? And what hit him? Come on, are y'all with me? See, this wasn't just natural. The enemy was waiting on him. I'm talking about the spiritual enemy. And he hit him with this panic, this fear. And they did not resist it. They didn't fight it off. They just gave in to it. And the Bible said, and that was Numbers 13 or so, in the 14th chapter, it said that they went back to their tents and they cried all night long. And they just said, we're going to die out here. Wow. Is that fear and discouragement, yes, right?
Yes, sir.
And it beat them.
Yes.
They never recovered from it. They did not overcome it. And they all died out there, except for the two who did not yield to the fear. Oh, come on. Did not yield, give in to the depression and discouragement. I guarantee you, they felt the same thing the other people felt. They saw the same thing they saw. And you can't prevent feelings and thoughts from coming against you. And you can't control everything that's happening out here. But you can control your response to it. You can control, by the help of the greater one inside, what's inside you. Fear can be all around, but I don't have to let it in me. Just because you feel fear and thoughts come, you haven't lost the battle. It's just coming against you. What do? Resist. Stand against it. Say no. I refuse to fear. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be afraid. You know, the big deal is the fear of death. Hebrews said that Jesus, through death, that's why he had to die. He delivered us who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All the phobias that people have is really the fear of death. The fear of dying, the fear of irrecoverable loss. Because people think that's it, that's the end, that's the worst thing that could happen to you. But when you know the truth, no, dying is not even close to the worst thing that could happen to you. Dying without Jesus, now that's the worst thing that could happen to you. But people say, well, I got a fear of the water. No, you got a fear of drowning and dying. I got a fear of flying. No, you got a fear of crashing and dying. Huh? I got a fear of, you know, being in close places. No, you got a fear of being smothered and dying. Huh? The other's just details. And once you realize what the Lord has done for you, and that Jesus said, if you believe on me, you will never die. He didn't mean this body would exist forever, but he tasted death for all of us. And if he tarries long enough for us to live out our life down here, when you leave, you won't even taste death. It may be a few minutes before you realize you're gone, that you left your body. You will not go through any agony. Why? Jesus took the agony of death. He bore it. You won't even taste it. You'll leave your body, look back and go, whoo, didn't know I looked that old. Wow. Then you'll go, I feel good. And your angel will be there. You say, you ready? The child of God can be, should be, completely free from the fear of death. Hmm? Somebody throws a pistol in your face and says, I'm going to blow you away. You say, I get to see Jesus today? But before you do, are you ready to go? Because if you don't get this straight, you're going the other direction. Huh? You can be free from fear. You can be. And when you genuinely get free from fear, the devil has lost. Because that was his big deal. He can't oppress you. He can't torment you. He'll go, I'm going to kill you. He go, look, I know I'm going to die for too long. And to depart and go to be with Jesus is far better than being, you can't scare me, devil. I'm ready to go. And when you're ready to go, you're ready to live without fear. Can you see that? Until you're ready to die and unafraid to die, you'll be limited by all kind of things you won't do because you're scared. This could happen or that could happen. Well, how'd we get into that? Deuteronomy 31, are you there? Verse 6, he told them again, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Now, some people teach, they say it like this, God is sovereign. And they imply that everything that happens is somehow the will of God. Good, bad, or whatever, it's all somehow God's mysterious plan. But that doesn't agree with the scriptures. God's not forcing anybody to do things. He's not overriding people's wills. And because of that, there's a lot of stuff happening on this planet that is not God's will. Amen. It's not his plan. It doesn't please him. Now, he's already said what's going to happen, and so eventually that is what's going to happen. But you and I can be part of his team or not. It's always our choice. Right. But if, as some people say, well, God's going to do his plan no matter what, then there's no need for him to keep telling his people, don't be afraid. Right? Don't be discouraged. Trust me, believe me. Oh, baby. So there's no need for any of that if he's going to do what he's going to do, whether or not. But Jesus, when he was ministering on the earth, he would tell people, if you can believe, all things are possible. Right? So he's telling that it's not just all up to him. So what I'm saying is, We must take this seriously. This be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid. We must not act like we've already got it. Oh yeah, we know that. Knowing it and doing it is two very different things. And it's always easy to talk about, oh yeah, I got it, until something shows up that's really challenging. And the first thing that's going to happen is the enemy is going to try to get you to panic. That's right. Try to get you to be afraid. Because he knows, whether we know it or not, that it's a spiritual law. that what you fear can come on you. And so it is deadly dangerous to be afraid of something.
Yes.
I don't think most of the church is clear enough on this. It's deadly dangerous to be afraid of something and to talk about the fear of it. And over a period of years, the enemy will try to plant a seed in you when you're a child. And keep trying to feed it so that you got this fear. And what a lot of people do, even people in our circles, they've gotten good at hiding the fear. But it's still there. I said it's still there. And the Lord helped me to see some time back that this is one of the biggest reasons, connections for mental dementia. Are y'all listening? It is fears not dealt with. Fears not overcome. We are not designed to handle fear. Our systems can't cope with it. That's why when people talk about, you know, coping with your fear. No, you need to get rid of the fear. Not coping with it. People say things like that because they don't believe you could actually be free from all fears. But didn't the psalmist say, I called on the Lord, He answered me, He delivered me from all my fears. All. Right? You can't, you know, you'll see people that maybe their loved one, their mother, an aunt, somebody had real problems with dementia or died, you know, terrible suffering with cancer, or the list goes on. Well, see, the enemy wants that to impact you so much, especially if you're close to it, as it happened. You saw it, and so you're well acquainted with what it is and how bad it is, and he'll try to get a fear of that happening to you. In you, even if you never talk about it with anybody else. And if you don't deal with it, I mean aggressively, you got to face it, and you got to grab that, and every time that thought comes to you about you going that way, you need to speak up and go, no. No, by the grace of God, I will not. I will not go that way. And by the grace of God, you know, if you look at these things, whether it's disease, whether it's cancer, whether it's dementia, all those things are part of the curse of the law. You'll see them in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Tell me the good news about that. Come on, somebody help me out. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But you cannot go around with that fear year after year and let it sit there and let it bug you, because eventually it'll start changing your body. It'll start changing your brain. It'll give access to death. You can't hide it. Put on a good face and say hallelujah and quote a scripture. You got to get it out of you. You got to get it out of you. And the way faith comes is by hearing the word. You keep hearing the right thing, and do not tolerate entertaining the fear. When the thought comes, there are times you need to speak up right out loud, and you need to resist it and say no. You need to tell the enemy. He'll try to paint a picture of you going a certain way, and you do not need to sit there and watch that and listen to that. You got to speak up and say no. 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 With long life, He'll satisfy me and show me His salvation, and I'll have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have the anointed mind. Right? I've been redeemed. I mean, one of the phrases is crazed in the wits. That's a specific part of the curse of the law. Have you or have you not been redeemed from the curse of the law.
Yes. 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 Amen.
Then you're redeemed.
That's right.
Don't have to have that.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So, I think we've known a little bit about the seriousness of fear, but again, haven't taken it as seriously either. You don't need to be afraid of the fear, but you do need to be completely intolerant. Was it Brother Copeland back this a number of years ago that he's teaching about fear, and no fear here? Was that a phrase they were using in the meetings that time? I like that.
Yeah.
Huh? No fear here. Where? No fear here. No fear here. No fear here. No fear in the church. No fear at my house. No fear here. None. None. Just the peace of God that passes understanding. He went on to say, he said, be strong and of good courage. Every time we hear that, we need to say, I receive that. And I will. You will what? I'll be strong. I'll be brave. I'll be courageous. And he said, fear not. So what do you say? Okay, I won't. I refuse to fear. Don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, it is he that goes with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. And Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. Reckon what he said, they didn't change the message. Huh? Because this is still the main thing you need to know. What? So he pulled, after telling everybody that, of course we know he already told them before in chapter 1. And so then he pulls Joshua out in front of everybody, where they could all see and hear. And he tells him, be strong. I thought he already said that. Yeah, but you need to hear it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Because you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give them, and you will cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that's going to go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. So again, what? What does it say at the end? Fear not, neither be dismayed. What's dismayed? It's that discouraged, depressed thing. It's the same thing. What's dismayed? Fear and depression. Fear and discouragement. Now, all of us have had a taste of this. Yeah. All of us have been afraid of something. And all of us have yielded to some discouragement or depression. We should be learning better. Right? And we should become completely intolerant of it. A child of God does not have to go days being down. Dark thoughts and dark feelings come from dark spirits. And so whether it's you or me, if we're yielding to it, we're yielding to something wrong.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're possessed. Yeah. It's something on the outside here. Bringing wrong thoughts and feelings to you. And if you don't resist them, sadly, probably most of the church world doesn't even know what's going on.
Wow. That's right.
They just know they were doing okay, and all at once they just didn't feel good. And then all of these thoughts, these terrible thoughts just keep coming. It's spiritual conflict. It's the enemy always trying to steal something from you, destroy something in your life. And the enemy's favorite M.O. is that you don't even know he's doing it. You think it's just all you, or his favorite is that it's God. God's testing you. When it's straight from him, the enemy. I was impacted by this a number of years ago. I thought, man, that's clarity. This minister said he got to go up in the skyscraper. It's a brand new thing, and it was taller than anything in the city. And he got up there, and there's this little balcony, this little rail, and he looked over, and man, he said the people were like this in the little cars. And he said a thought came to him. Why don't you just jump? He said, you jump. I'm not. I'm not crazy. That is excellent. Right? That's revelation. That's understanding. I mean, do you know how many Christians would have just gripped the rail? And thought, what am I thinking about jumping for? Oh, that's the worst thing you could ask. Because the enemy's right there to feed you somewhere. He said, because you're suicidal. Wow. No. Wow. Well, you're thinking about jumping. Yeah. Well, you're suicidal. No. Well, you think about jumping. Yep. He's the one brought you the thought.
Come on. That's right.
That didn't come from inside of you. It came from out here. If we had that clarity to realize we do not have to think thoughts and yield to feelings, we don't have to. We're supposed to examine every one of them and go, no. Huh? Yeah, this was from God. Whoo, yeah. I'm going to keep that. Huh? But when the enemy, you know, Brother Hagin used to say that, he said, even the most holy child of God has found thoughts and feelings that were not right come to them. Well, see, that's coming to you from the enemy. He's trying to feed you something. Just don't receive it. Just like them. He says, you know, why don't you do this, some stupid thing? And you go, no, I'm not crazy. No. Realizing it didn't come out of you. Came from out here against you. And thoughts of fear, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of depression. He said, it's the Lord that'll go before you, verse 8. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He won't forsake you. Fear not. Help me out. Respond to that. Fear not. You say, okay, yes. I refuse to fear. And also what? Don't be dismayed. Or discouraged. And you won't have to take medication either to try to combat your depression. Because, you know, it can dull you, but it won't stop a wrong spirit. Right? From bringing... Can you see this? And I'm not making fun of this. This is serious. People have suffered in these things. But are we or are we not redeemed? And is a born of God, child of God, with the greater one inside, authorized in the name of Jesus, a helpless victim to a thought from the enemy? A helpless victim to a feeling? Or can we resist it? And if we resist it, does it have to flee? It is written. The problem is, most people are not resisting it. They're not. They just sit and think on it. And then sometimes you go far enough, they just wallow in it. And just, it gets worse and worse. And they just say, I can't, I'm sorry. I can't cope. And or maybe something bad happened and they just say, well, you know, I can't get past it. Well, that's letting the devil rob you of your life, of your relationships, of your ministry. Somebody say no.
No.
I refuse to fear.
I refuse to
I refuse to be depressed.
I refuse to be depressed.
Now look in Joshua, just a page or two over. It's a third passage. It says a very similar thing. Joshua chapter 1. When they got there, after a 40-year detour, where all the people that didn't listen to God and feared anyway and panicked anyway and succumbed to depression, they all died. They died young. They died wrong. Except Joshua. And Caleb. That's my camp. How about you? That's my Joshua, Caleb, and Keith. And
Jim.
Huh? I'm serious. Now, what I realized teaching on this a while back, we're told there were 603,550 soldiers in that camp. Add to that the older people, the women and children, you got probably at least 2 million. And out of that whole generation of adult age, they all died out there in the wilderness before they reached 70 or 80, except for Joshua and Caleb. Well, that's 2 out of 2 million. That's 1 in a million. Literally. And Jesus talking about the word and being sown, he talked about 4 different types of ground. You remember that? There was only 1 type of ground that got any results from the word. Right? And so you shouldn't be shocked if you see something's not working for people. Or you see people not making it to the length that they should or what. That shouldn't be shocking to you. But it doesn't have to determine your life. I'm in the Joshua, Caleb camp. Huh? Joshua, Caleb, and me. And you. Is that right or not? Now you're going to have to think different. You can't just go with the crowd. Huh? You're going to have to be 1 in a million. You got to believe different, talk different, act and react different, live different. Oh, but it'll be worth it. Verse 5, he said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life." That's a word right there. Never get your eyes on anybody and think they're holding you back.
That's good.
And preventing God's plan from coming to pass in your life. No man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Should that be a strong word to us in consolation? Is God ever changed from this? Is he a respecter of persons? No. What does he say again?
Be strong.
Verse 6, be strong and of good courage.
Yes.
Give me a response.
Yes.
Yes, I will. I'll receive it. Huh? Will it be automatic?
No.
No. Will you be tempted to be a coward?
Yes.
Yeah, you will. I don't care who you are.
Yes.
You will.
Yes.
Will you be tempted to be scared?
Yes.
Run and hide, quick, lay down, whatever. You will.
Yes.
And you got to man up.
Right.
Woman up.
Right.
You got to be strong.
Yes.
Right? It's a choice.
Yes. It
doesn't mean you never have any feelings. But if the hair's sticking up on the back of your neck, and you got goosebumps double part, and your knees are bumping together, you ain't lost the battle. You're in the middle of a battle. Come on, y'all with me. You just say, you need to open up your mouth and say, I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. Fear, get out of here. Leave me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear anything. Why? Because you're with me. You're with me. If you're with me, who can be against me?
That's right.
What if you die? I'm going to die.
Yes.
So are you.
Yes.
And your pet and your flower and every tree, right? I mean, we're here for just a little bit of time.
Yes.
What if I don't get it quite right and I die, you know, trying to believe God? Honey, child, you don't want to die any other way.
Right.
Then believe in God. Is that right? And if you don't get it quite right, I assure you, when you slip out of your body and the next thing you turn, you see him, you'll go, Lord, I was trying to believe you. He goes, I know, honey. Come here, come here, come here. Come. And he'll hug you and you'll forget about it.
Yeah.
Except for anything you need to learn, you'll learn that too later on.
Yes, sir.
But he knows, he's looking at the heart.
That's right. Yeah.
He's not looking at perfect performance.
Correct.
He's certainly not looking that you know everything. He knows how little you know. But he's looking at your heart, right? And you can make a heart choice that I'm going to believe God. And I'm not going to be a coward, right? And I'm not going to give in and be depressed and lay around and feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to do that. God has done too much for me. For me to lay around and act like I got nothing to be thankful for. He said, be strong, of a good courage. For unto this people you will divide an inheritance of the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only, in case you didn't get it the first five times, be strong. Now, do you see why I'm going over this again? Is the Lord repetitious for no reason? Why does he keep telling this? Well, 2 million people just died in the desert because they didn't get this.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
And who is this we're reading about?
Joshua.
Yeah.
Right. One in a million.
Him and only one other buddy are here to even hear this and talk about this out of all the soldiers and men that were with them. Hundreds of thousands dead now. And it's 40 years have passed. And how many think maybe they're paying more attention this time around? Right? Okay, now. We're going to do this again. The land's over here. I've given it to you. You need to go get it. But are you listening to this time? Be strong. Be courageous. And do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed. That's where the battles lost or won. Not out there with the sword. The battle's won or lost right there. That's why the Lord keeps saying it. So important. So critical. Got to get this right. If you're going to have happen what he wants to have happen. Be strong and very courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go.
Amen.
That's God's will.
Yes.
Always has been. Everybody say, everywhere I go,
everywhere I go,
I prosper.
I prosper.
Everything I put my hand to,
everything I put my hand to,
prospers.
Prospers.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed coming in.
Everything I do, everywhere I go, that's scripture. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Have not I commanded you, in case you didn't get it, the last 10 times. Help me out. Help me out. What does he say? Be strong and of a good courage. And what? See, he tells you what to do and what don't do. What not to do. And this is not optional. This is not optional. You know, you can't fold up and panic and fall apart and go, God, I just can't. And he'll go, oh, that's all right, baby. I knew you couldn't. I just wanted you to try.
Yeah.
No.
Now, you're thinking about grandma, not God. Not exactly the same. He that comes to God must, it's not optional, must believe that he is. Of course, if he is God, and if he exists and he is God, then he can do what God can do. That's got all the power and capability covered. If he's God, he can do it. But you can't stop there. You must believe that, but you must also believe he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Diligently is not in the text. Look it up. That implies kind of almost a superhuman effort. It just says those that seek him. Uh-oh, did I interrupt you? Those that seek him. I mean, you don't have to break records. You don't have to climb the highest mountain, swim the ocean. You just got to, instead of falling into a pool of self-pity, you got to stand up and believe God. And go, yes, I believe you can do this, Lord. And yes, I believe you're a good God. And so I'm seeking you. I'm looking to you to tell me what to do and how to do this. But I already believe we're going to come out shining. I'm not afraid of failing. I'm not depressed about what I don't know, what I haven't seen, what hasn't happened. So you got to fight this. Because the devil, he likes to feed you questions. Yeah, but what about? And what about what happened to so-and-so? And how come? And how come not? Wow. Well, you need to realize you know next to nothing about them.
That's right.
Or completely nothing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You don't know what happened to them and inside and out. And a lot of that, even if you inquire of the Lord, he'll tell you it's none of your business. And you better be glad he's that way, because somebody come inquiring about you, he'll tell them the same thing. None of your business. Doesn't change what he said.
That's right.
Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to hear you say it out loud. My scared days. Panic attacks. Over. Depressed days. Over. I refuse to live that way. I don't have to. I have a word from the Lord. And it makes me strong. And it gives me courage. And it gives me joy. And it gives me peace.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You got time for a little more?
Yes.
Let's just talk about one example before we sum it up tonight. David learned how to do this from the Lord. If you read about what happened with David in his life, all the way back to when he was a shepherd boy, when he faced off with Goliath, when the band of misfits joined up with him, and next thing you see, they're not called that anymore. They're called mighty men. Something happened. There was an amazing transformation. And he had some real opportunities to be afraid and to be discouraged. But the Spirit of God taught him how not to cope, but to overcome it. And give it no place in you.
Yes.
I'm talking about fear and depression. Go to Psalm. We'll do it this way. Psalm 42. This is in both Psalm 42 and 43. But in Psalm 42, we hear through the psalmist how He dealt with this. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? That is the literal definition of dismayed. It means to be cast down, brought down. We use the same terminology today. They've been down. That's been going on since the beginning. And we're getting into already the specifics of how to be completely victorious over all this. So you're not snoozing, are you? Are you awake?
Yes, sir.
First thing you see, you got to talk to yourself.
That's right. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
You got to talk to yourself.
That's right.
Hmm?
You're right.
Yeah. Who's he talking to? Himself.
Yeah.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why would you say that? The implication is you have no right to be. You don't have a good answer. So, you got no excuse for what you're doing. This moping around. This feeling sorry for yourself. This being dismayed, discouraged, depressed, when the Lord your God commanded you not to be. And if you cry and say, I can't help it, you're believing a lie. And that'll hold you in that junk. If you believe you can't, then you're done. You're stuck. You can die like that. What will the truth do for you? It'll make you free. Somebody say, greater is he that's in me than anything that can come against me. I am not a helpless victim to fear or depression. I'm an overcomer. I'm born of God. Well, see, you're already talking. Right? You're talking about yourself. And you need to talk to yourself. To yourself. You know, you get up and you don't feel right. And some goofy thoughts messing with you. You go to look in the mirror. You're supposed to be getting ready. It's time to do something. Right?
Yeah.
Say, hey, you looking in the mirror, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you need to kind of sneak up on yourself from behind and go, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing with them stinky thoughts in your head? You know you ain't supposed to. That's contraband for a child of God. Fear and depression. You ain't supposed to. What do you got? That's illegal. You can't have that stuff. Isn't that something like what he said? So? What are you doing? Why are you down? Now see, the flesh has 1,000 answers to that. Well, if you'd been through what I've been through, you'd be down too. You don't know that. You don't know what I've been through. But that really makes no difference.
Right.
You are me. If we're children of God, we got a command.
Yeah.
We are not to allow any fear or dismay, discouragement. This is contraband to us. Something that stands out to me, Joseph. He was daddy's boy, daddy's favorite, had the fancy clothes. Lived the great life. His brothers hated him. Stole him. Sold him as a slave. Well, man, he had a real harsh reckoning with reality, man. And he's somebody's property. And then he winds up in Potiphar's household. But he didn't let slavery get inside him.
That's right. Yes,
come on, y'all listening. Even though he's somebody's property,
that's right,
he had enough vibrancy and life that he is looking for answers. He's looking for wisdom. And so in, was it Potiphar's house? When they needed something, he gave them an answer. Then he gave them another. Then he showed them how to do it. Next thing you know, he's running the place. Is that right?
Yes.
And was a prosperous man, even though he's a slave. He was sold into slavery. But slavery didn't get in him. Come on, can you see this? He's still free on the inside. Then it got worse. Remember that? Potiphar's wife tried to hit on him, and he wouldn't go along with it, and she lied on him, and they put him in the worst jail. I mean, they put him in the lower parts, and he's been there for some length of time. Next thing you know, he's running that place too. Now, that doesn't happen if you sit over in the corner and cry all day. Huh? People don't turn things over to you because you're depressed and you feel like you've gotten a bad shake. Life is so unfair. Did you expect it to be? Life? The world? You should know that. No, there ain't nothing in this world fair. And right, God's good, but not the world, not this life. And when Pharaoh's butler and baker were thrown in jail, we have a snippet of he comes in and sees them. They're all depressed. He said, "What's wrong with y'all? Why are you so sad? Why are you sad? You might be executed next week." That little thing. And you're in one of the darkest, stinkiest dungeon prisons there is in the world. Got that? Do you hear what Joseph said? Why are you down? Does that sound like this? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why is that question there? Because you don't have a good answer. No matter what's going on, it's not something too big for God. It's not something other people hadn't already overcome. And probably didn't cry about it as much as you did. Where your mind is where you live. And so even though he's in jail, he's still free inside. He's still flowing in his graces. He's running the place. Everybody's looking to him for answers. Isn't this amazing? And he's not depressed. Not depressed. Not depressed. It's possible. Even if you're a slave, not be depressed. It's possible. Even if you're in a dungeon, not be depressed. It's possible. It's possible. So whatever's been happening with you, it's possible to have victory anyway. Have joy anyway. Have peace anyway. And not be afraid. Right? And not be depressed. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? This shows the absence of the two big things. Why are you cast down, O my soul? That's a lack of joy. Why are you disquieted in me? That's a lack of peace. If you're full of joy, you wouldn't be down. If you were full of peace, you wouldn't be disquieted, upset and rattled. And Romans 15 talks about that. The God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. These are two of the biggest indicators of how you and I are doing spiritually. If you're depressed and scared, you are not doing well spiritually. Your faith is not good. You're just not doing good. But the stronger you are, the more joy you have. You know what the scripture said? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the more you're doing well spiritually, the more peace you have. And the more joy you have, And the more peace you have, especially in the midst of problems, the brighter witness it is to anybody who's around you and sees you when other people are crumbling and coming apart, and you still got joy. You still got peace. And people wonder, how do you do it? It's a choice. He gets to that next. Hope thou in God. This is how you get out of it. Hope is expectation of good. The Lord said, I know the plans I think about you. Right? Good things. Good plan. Give you an expected end. The reason people get discouraged and despondent, they can see no good future. They have no hope. The reason people get suicidal is they think, what's the point? It'll never be as good as it used to be. I got nothing to look forward to. These are lies from the pit. Besides that, as a child of God, you are not your own.
That's right.
Huh? Before you put a noose around your neck or a gun to your head, you better ask your Lord what he thinks about that. And I'm telling you, he's going to tell you hands off. He bought that body and paid for it. And he's not okaying you to do that. Now, he's merciful. Even the people that did. But don't believe lies. I got no future. There's no hope. What did he say? Well, he started talking to himself. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You got no reason to be acting like this. Soul, why are you down? Implies you ought not be. And why are you disquieted? So upset, fretting. You ought to have peace and you ought to have joy. So what? Why don't I have it? You hadn't been looking at the right thing. You hadn't been thinking, talking about the right things. So what are we going to do? We got to change the channel. What do we change it to? Channel hope. W-H-O-G. Hope of God. H-I-G, I guess it is. Hope in God. Huh? Somebody said, don't you mean faith, Brother Keith? No, the Bible said what it wanted to say. Hope. But you can't have hope without faith. Somebody said, didn't you say it wrong? No, I said it right. Why would I have expectation of something good tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year? Because I believe something. I am persuaded of something. Right? So yeah, faith and hope are inseparable. But I ask Phyllis, my wife, pretty regularly, I'll say, what are we excited about?
Huh?
Because if you're not excited about something, you're not in faith. You know, like Pastor was saying about pressing toward the mark, right? There should be multiple things that you and I, maybe we prayed about it. We asked the Lord about it. He told us in His Word. He told us by His Spirit something else. Something to believe and something to expect. Well, if we're expecting good things, that doesn't depress you. I said, if we're expecting great things, that doesn't make you suicidal. Hope thou in God. For I, and then what do you do? I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I get to looking at His face. It affects my face. His countenance changes my countenance. Let's go over it again and I'll close. What do you do? Oh, you've been miserable. You've been crying. You've been taking a bunch of pills. You've been doing all kinds of stuff. So unhappy. So bad. So sad. I'm not making fun. It's serious. People die from this. But you don't have to. What do you do? Let's go over it again. Talk to yourself. Is that right? And say, why are you doing this? You got no right to do this. Why are you down? You don't have to be down. You shouldn't be down. Yeah, but Joseph was sold as a slave. Yeah, but he's in the dungeon. Right? And still pops in with a beaming smile and goes, "What's up, guys? What are you so down for today?" Huh? If they say, "Well, we may be executed next week." "Yeah, but you got this week. Come on." Is that right? Let's.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on.
That's right. That's right.
Live till you go.
That's right.
And like we said earlier, if you're not afraid to die,
yeah,
and you're ready to die, it takes all the sting out of it.
Yes.
All the bite out of it. So talk to yourself. And then what? Hope, vow in God. What are we excited about? What do we have to look forward to? And if you say nothing, then you have not been talking to God. You've been listening to lies. It's not true. God has a good plan for you. For your whole life.
Yes.
To the very last day.
Yes,
the very last breath.
That's right.
Good things are supposed to be happening. Don't know if you're completely convinced of that. Huh?
Yes. Yes.
Said out loud, God's got a plan.
God's got a plan.
A great plan.
A great plan.
A good plan.
Good plan.
For my whole life.
For my whole life.
I have so much
to look forward to.
To be excited about.
Be excited.
Lord, reveal it to me.
Lord,
remind me of it.
And
reveal it to me.
And
I will rejoice in it. I will be excited about it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then what do you do? Then what do you do? Praise. Praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For what? Praise Him for His plan. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for your salvation. Praise Him for all the good things ahead of you. Somebody lift your hand and say, "Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God."
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.